Do you need a roadmap to jumpstart your career? One that doesn't assume you grew up with the internet? A simple guide to today's digital tools. Visit mojo40.com, a blog for career-minded people over 40. Diane Delinsky-Picar offers practical advice, tips, and tricks to retool your skills. Rebuild your business networks to match a changing marketplace. At mojo40.com, subscribe to Diane's free blog or call 914-645-1667 for insights and inspiration. mojo40.com, doing the legwork to get your career mojo back. 914-645-1667.
Well, as I said in the introduction to the show, that we're going to dedicate this segment for those of you who'd like to shift to a double E career, and that's not electrical engineering, but rather an encore entrepreneur. So welcome to the line, Diane Delinsky-Picar from Mojo40.com. How are you this afternoon, Diane?
I'm wonderful, Zara. How are you doing?
I just couldn't be better. So the idea of encore entrepreneur, I know you see a lot of that going on with the people you coach and also that tap into your website. What's really necessary, though, do you think, in this day and age, perhaps more than others, to make that happen for folks?
Well, I would start off sort of like every good consultant, breaking it into four areas. And I call those areas knowledge, skills, attitude, and habits. If you're lax in any of these four areas, then actually you could be falling flat despite your best intentions. So let me just explain a little bit. Knowledge means that you're not only up on the trends in your industry, but you're also up on the trends in related fields. And most often I see self-starters that have knowledge and skills, but they may take the inevitable small failures too personally, or they lack the self-discipline and the good habits to keep a venture from spinning out of control. It's really important that you have to combine these four areas. Otherwise, you don't keep your eye on the goal, and you don't work towards it in a disciplined way.
And then also, don't you find people that with the best of intention, you know, they are a very talented baker, right? And so their idea is, I'm going to open up a bakery, but to realize that really it should be the business of the bakery, not the baking itself. So
exactly.
That different role they have to evolve into.
Exactly. You have to keep your eye on what will people pay for and what's the efficient and most efficient way to get there. So it's not just the great idea. You have to be able to bring that idea to the table in a superb, repeated execution.
Well, I know you've been tracking several entrepreneurs in this space, so why don't you cite a couple examples to give our listeners a sense of that foursome that comes so powerfully to bear: knowledge, skills, attitudes, and habits, coupled with a great idea.
Okay, I'd be happy to, Zara. In fact, I'm going to give very different examples. All of these were mid-career professionals. The first was a gentleman named Bernard Koenig. He was married to a banker, and he was very happily making home sculptures, huge things, 3 and 4 foot sculptures that would go inside or outside your house. And that worked well as long as the banker was supporting the family.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the problem was, we all know, 2007, 2008, 2009 came along, and he needed to do more that would bring in, you know, that cash cushion. So he took a look at what he did well, and it was work with his hands. And he, over time, became focused on the idea of insulation. And not just insulation, we're talking home insulation, but the idea that folks were looking to cut expenses, that there was new technology out there that would enable a reduction in home energy use, and that if he became really good at doing home energy audits, and then the follow-on step, installing the insulation, which would allow you to capture savings, he would be able to work in a very entrepreneurial way and earn money at it. And that's exactly how his business has taken off. You can find his business at BK Solutions LLC. But the takeaway that I'd like to tell listeners is that he started with what he was good at, and then he looked where there was a need that people are willing to pay, and people will pay to recoup and save money.
You bet.
So another example, something really different, typical of professional types. There was a guy who worked on the sales side of a contactless mobile payments firm. His name was Todd Ablewitz. I met him actually through his wife. And he saw an opportunity to forge out on his own and to become a consultant. He actually wanted to help companies envision how they were going to navigate the area of electronic and mobile payments. He's now the pilot of his own firm called Double Diamond Group. You can find it at doublediamondgroup.com in Denver. And the way he got there is very typical for the kind of business where you're selling yourself as a consultant or really the brains behind a roadmap. And that is he aimed to speak at industry events, mm-hmm. to gain visibility by being on broadcast, to serve on the board of industry associations, and to shake down the trees to build his business network. And naturally, the other piece, which is very important, as you build your reputation, you have to accumulate the brownie points of going the extra step to satisfy your clients. I mean, you need an uber-targeted message, and on every assignment, you have to exceed their expectations so that they believe that the roadmap you have painted is really a winner. And I would like to pull a third one, which is close to my heart. This example is of a woman who had been in the career world, mm-hmm. and then she took time off to dive into the work of parenting. Now, Iris Amos was the mother of two young boys, and one of them had allergies. So she was constantly reminding school teachers, nurses, and anyone else that she came into contact with that her son couldn't eat this and her son mm-hmm. couldn't eat that. I mean, Zara, can you imagine? You're constantly sharing this negative thing. Your kid is hearing it. It's already tinged with fear. There's no positive way to keep your kid safe right, because right. once you said it, and you said it till you're blue in the face, it's disappeared. So she came up with the idea for a product that would be fun, that would be kid-friendly, that would sort of have cartoon characters that would be the allergy incarnate. So there's a cartoon character who's penicillin-free or wheat-free or bee sting-free and so forth, and they all have names, and they grew up somewhere. They have professions. You know, this cat allergy was born. The cat which has a cat allergy was born in France. He wears a beret. It's really adorable. And she has decorated products that the children would wear or carry that identify them, so wristbands, lunch bags, EpiPens, and so forth. And what's really cool is you can go out now and buy these in Walgreens and mom-and-pop stores. They'll soon be stocked at CVS. And from her own need to communicate a positive message and keep her kids safe, she's launched a business.
Wow, isn't that something? And it's one that really in this day and age, being so attuned to the type of food allergies or other type of allergies, can be life-threatening to our children.
But, absolutely.
The idea that she probably, you know, just the fact that one day she woke up with an aha that said, this is so negative, how could I frame it positively, and to do it in such a natural way with cartoon characters?
Well, you know, people have to put the dots together. I think we call it connect the dots.
Right, exactly.
But it doesn't happen. I mean, this is typical of a new venture. It doesn't happen because everything lines up beautifully. Mm-hmm. It happens because you're reassessing. You're looking at which pieces of the puzzle work and which one need to be refocused. So I'll give you an example. Her company is about 3 years old, and it is growing, and it's gaining traction. But she had to identify mistakes at different places. So at one point, when she had the idea and she had some sample products, but she didn't have the confidence that she could distribute them widely, she gave the sales rights to basically a national distribution company. Now, you know how they work. They represent thousands of products in different manufacturers. So you can imagine what happened to small little Iris Amos's Allermates, which was that they sold maybe 3,000 or 4,000 items a year. It's not enough to be a business. But once that was looked at, she hired the right people. She brought on a new president. They examined what was the mistake, what was working, what was not, and they said, we want to take back control of sales. So right. they were able to abrogate the contract and able to re-engage the market directly to really reach out to the big buyers, open up retail channels. They had to do trade shows. They had to make, you know, face-to-face appointments. Sure. It didn't come at once. But the point is the constant recalibration and the identification of intermediate goals that meet that big, hairy, audacious goal at the end, that's what makes for a successful new venture.
It does. And in fact, I can think of several examples of the clients I've worked with that you put all your energy to cultivate, you know, a certain type of a client, only to realize that, you know, that might not be my ideal client space. And I almost need to fire that client, so to speak, or step back and realize that, you know, here's the more productive thing that's right there in my peripheral vision, but I hadn't turned slightly to the right to even see it.
That's exactly so. In fact, if you listen to your clients, very often they'll express the feature that they really want or the need that they really see. I see that all the time. A business starts off one way, and I think the lingo is it pivots. Mm-hmm. It pivots because it's responding to what somebody says, I need this, which is not quite what you actually put in the market.
Right, exactly. And particularly individuals that want to be solopreneurs, you know, and not necessarily build a lot of people, inventory, et cetera, that being able to pivot routinely may be something you need to be pretty light at. Well, get us back to now these four things that the entrepreneur operates on, then: knowledge, skills, attitudes, and habits. You know, that can be really, at times, a real unique package.
Yes, I mean, it is unique because everyone brings different things to the table. But I have to say also, if you're weak in an area, you can hire a coach, an outside sounding board, find a partner, you can do it with your spouse, but you have to identify what you need to improve. I'll give you a really small example because you're talking about solopreneurs. There was a gentleman in his 50s. He was out of work. He knew he was great at Excel, Word, and PowerPoint, and he had read something which said that many folks don't use this software to its full extent. So he basically took that kernel of research and said, I'm going to do training to get people up to speed on Excel, Word, and PowerPoint. Okay, fast forward. He spent a lot of weeks trying to find his target market to no success, and I spoke to him and I said, you know, those programs have been around a long time. How about you train on the latest and the greatest new shiny thing? How about the software called Keynote? I've heard Steve Jobs used it. I saw a presentation last week where somebody presented it, and everyone could tell this wasn't PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think how you will be more attractive in the market and what people would be willing to pay for, because at the end of the day, even if you're doing great training, if the platform you're trying to train on has been around forever, there's a proliferation of ways people can get trained. You have to actually offer something new and different.
Well, and I tell you something, particularly with the digital divide, as we call it, between those who are born with this kind of stuff that can intuitively jump on the screen and learn it without needing a manual versus those of us that kind of like the structure of looking at the manual, which no longer exists, there's a big market for that possibility, particularly one-on-one coaching or smaller, safer settings where you don't have to raise your hand amongst those who you kind of don't want them to know you don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. I would actually say as you follow your journey, listen to what people need, because very often they'll express it, maybe hesitantly, as you said, but they will. They will express it if you're really listening, and the best salespeople listen.
Diane, you, mojo40.com, of course, is all focused on really important advice for mid-career professionals, although the wisdom you shared today would apply to any generation. Are you finding, though, in general, as you talk to people in that mid-career phase, that they need an extra little boost to step out and give things a try versus perhaps in the past?
Yes,
they're kind of stuck.
I totally see where you're going, because this is one of the issues. If you've spent a lot of time getting really good at what you're doing, but while you're getting good at what you're doing, the playbook is changing.
Yeah.
You get perceived, and this is a prejudice, let's be honest, people make discriminatory snap judgments, but there is a prejudice that is, you know, a middle-aged person, you're not on top of the latest and greatest tools. So I do this often in my blog, an uber practical post where I'm literally listing, this is what you should do. So if you have a business, you should be using these 5 to 10 handy dandy tools. I can tell you ones I've used. Dropbox.com. I've used that for sharing files on a team which extends across 3 continents. I've used YouSendIt. I mean, Zara, you and I have used
Absolutely. That's how we send you your podcasts. Exactly.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'll say in advance. Here's a great one for displaying visual concepts and how concepts get adjusted on a large team. Listen, because I'm literally going to spell it out. It's less known. CMAP, C-M-A-P dot I-H-M-C dot U-S. It is really good for showing how things can get revised in different ways and a concept can evolve. Mm-hmm. I also am a freelancer with different hats, so I can tell you I use QuickBooks Online all the time to record time. I use Basecamp for a very straightforward, intuitive project management tracking. I mean, to be honest with you, Zara, I don't know anybody who's an evangelist for Microsoft Project. I hope they're not your sponsor.
That's right.
But
it takes a level of
alternative.
It takes a very intense layer of skill, indeed, to use Microsoft Project.
It does. Now, here's one for anybody. I mean, you could be participating selling T-shirts at the flea market, or you could be a best-selling author. You could be doing aerial photography. It's called Square. I put a post on my blog which mentioned it a couple months ago, and there, you know, now it's incredibly successful with a huge billion-dollar valuation. But it's a tiny little thing you order. You turn on the app on your mobile smartphone, and you can run a credit card through pronto on the spot. Two other on my list are MailChimp. I mean, it's free. It's so intuitive. I recently trained an opera singer to do some marketing by writing to every restaurant in his area and proposing opera al fresco evenings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once he saw how to do it in MailChimp, he was never going to pick up the phone again. And one of the other tools I recommend is a mobile hotspot. I don't know where your listeners are, Zara. I know you're national. And building on that idea, not every space has great Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. If you just turn on your mobile hotspot, you can be working from anywhere.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The suggestions for the person who wants to try out and test their own entrepreneurial skills, but maybe that kernel of a great idea hasn't taken shape then. I think you and I both espouse the same, and that is your path is created by walking on it. Just get moving. But some people don't have all that flexibility or the latitude when you certainly got to pay the bills and do other things with your time at the same time.
Exactly. And I'd like to put in like the little seed of an idea, which is you do not have to be Leonardo da Vinci with, you know, notebooks full of innovative products in order to be an entrepreneur. I'd like to point to the idea that franchises are really interesting, and there are many proven franchises businesses where both the concept and the execution can be basically shown to you. You do have to buy in, but we're not talking just Dunkin' Donuts or Subway or any of those. Everyone thinks franchise is fast food or it's a hotel chain or something. You don't need $1 million. You don't even need $500,000. There are very interesting franchises out there that you can buy in, and you can basically become your own boss on something where someone else has cut their teeth. So, like, I just did a simple Google search here because I don't know, your listeners come from all different walks of life, different interests. But on Kiplinger's, I found there was a franchise which does sort of math gymnastics for young kids. There was a franchise where you could restore plastics in the home. There was a franchise for home-based senior care. I mean, all different kinds of things. I have on my blog, Mojo 40, a really interesting story of a middle-aged professional who had been his own boss in the corporate travel business. Now, we know that that completely collapsed.
You bet.
He was really scurrying to support his two boys coming up on college, and he knew he didn't want to report to somebody after two decades of being in charge. And he identified a franchise which basically documents the construction of a building. Could be an institutional building, could be a home, so forth. And when they document it for insurance purposes or lawsuits or any other kind of thing, you could now sort of excavate a problem ex post facto and see in the film footage how it was put together, whether it was a construction problem, whether it was a design problem, and so forth. So I have to tell you, He bought into the franchise for the metropolitan New York area, and he is doing fantastically well. Some of the largest construction projects in our nation are going on here, and he has landed them. And he's only like 3 years in the business. His wife says he's a totally different guy. And again, this was a franchise. There were several already operating that he could learn from.
Yeah, and that is the key, is to pick a franchise organization that really is good at sharing and supporting their franchisees so you can learn and evolve the business. Well, you know, I asked earlier about the idea of people that maybe are mid-career that feel stuck, that they can't step forward, and that perhaps they're wedded to all the deficits of why it's hard to start. I'm not risk tolerant, et cetera, et cetera. But actually, there's some real clear advantages for people that are 40, 50, 70, 80 to do entrepreneurial things. Lay those out for us.
I would love to, Zara, because this is a topic, I mean, you can't see it, but I'm smiling wide. I mean, yeah. Here's your get out of jail card for anyone who feels they're twisted by technology. If you just explore and use to your advantage your interpersonal skills,
right.
You will see how you get ahead. And let's really define, what do I mean by interpersonal skills, okay? We're talking very honestly now. I mean old-fashioned courtesy, consideration, and reciprocity. I mean, people will treat you and respond to you differently when you can pull out the mat of thoughtfulness. Let me give you an illustration. I was a new employee at one firm, and on the last Friday of my first week of work, I received an email from my counterpart in China, and this is what he said. Hi, Diane. It's the end of your first week at work. What do you think so far? Is there anything I can do to help you be more effective here? Now, Zara, that small token of thoughtfulness had an amazing positive effect on me. It made me more eager to be helpful to this gentleman. It made me feel like I was part of the team. You know, whether it happens while you're working, while you're networking, while you're just in social situations, use your interpersonal skills to be that thoughtful person. I mean, extending a smile, making a gesture. Zara, I have heard you say this sage bit of advice, which is shift your thinking and help someone else. It will come back to you many times over. And believe me, in this ever-changing world, there are always new ways to thank your business network.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd like to actually point to one post I have on Mojo 40. It's called 21 Fail-Proof Business Networking Steps. And the internet and everything has made it possible for you to be that smarter, thoughtful, more courteous professional.
That's right. And take full advantage of that. Well, Diane, as always, thanks. We really cut a wide path today. But for our listeners, please do visit www.mojo40.com to pick up on her latest advice and really diverse posts from various perspectives. And thanks for all that indefatigable energy as well, Diane. We'll talk to you real soon.
My pleasure, Zara.
All right, take care.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays 10 to noon right here on 104.1 The Truth for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.